أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. Inshallah, Allah help, we ask brothers and sisters, let's recite a salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. For some reason this time we're having issues with the live stream or whatever. Inshallah, Allah will help with whenever it connects, reconnects. I'm going to have to continue with the conversation, not be distracted by the messages and the other ones. The topic that inshallah we're going to be discussing over the course of these nights, as we mentioned earlier, and inshallah some of it at least got across, is related to the emotional connection with Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha, Sayyidatu Nisa'il Alameen. And there's a few different aspects of that we want to discuss. The first is the importance of it. And we started to say that what we saw in Qum amongst ulama and have read is that far or seen as such, we saw signs. Their connection, what they said, their words in regards to Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha were different, on a different caliber. Sometimes even to an extent where it couldn't be understood. Meaning that sometimes their words, their sentences regarding Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha sounded to our ear. Teachers, we were at his house for a completely different occasion, and he wasn't even supposed to be giving a talk, but for some reason he felt the need to say words regarding Fatima al-Zahra. And I had never seen this teacher speak in this way, that he had to control his emotion. The incidents that we are commemorating these days, he didn't want to show his emotions, but he couldn't control for them to come out briefly until he suppressed them and controlled them and tried to not reveal his emotions. And then again, a part he had to explain the same. His body was moving, he was forcing. And the words we hear them say, it's, as I said, it sounds like it's an exaggeration. In fact, I think I've mentioned this before in our sessions. There are a series of hadith in Al-Kafi, one of our most reliable works, by a scholar, or in other words, Al-Kulayni, rahmatullah alayh, has taken these ahadith from the book of a scholar that preceded him, who has written an entire book. Kulayni trusts this man. He said in the beginning of the book Al-Kafi that I only present to you the ahadith that I worship God with. These are not just, not considered everything that he's narrating to be reliable. Kulayni says, whatever I have presented is what I believe in, and I worship God through these. Very selective. So knowing that he's been very selective, and then he narrates a number of ahadith from that book, tells us he has trusted him. Now, other scholars have said, and this is the point here, couldn't understand what he's saying. And because they couldn't understand, it sounded to their ears to be exaggeration. They called it an exaggeration. Well, how did you conclude? It doesn't explain how they concluded that this person is a ghali. It's their judgment. It's fine. Then we know that it's based on what he has narrated. And they judge the narrations to be ghulub. That's their judgment. They didn't quote an imam ghali. Their judgment is that what he narrates is ghulub. He says, I heard this from this person, from that person, from the imam. They couldn't accept their judgment as no. The imam, he says in regards to the Ahlul Bayt is ghulub. Okay, so that means that we have got to look at that and we can have a judgment ourselves. We're looking at the ahadith. We're looking at the narrations that have led to considering that ghulub. Otherwise, it's very accurate. It's very accurate. This is what we're saying. So there's precedence to this. This is not new. We have ulama, ashab of the Ahlul Bayt, that heard words from the Ahlul Bayt regarding Fatima al-Zahra, that not at that level cannot process it and would consider it ghulu, even ulama, good ulama. The ulama that said this man is a ghali, they're good ulama, they're not bad ulama. They're not trying to accuse someone. That's their judgment, fine. We look at that, like, no, absolutely not. There's plenty of verses and ahadith that can be cited that all conform. And so Fatima al-Zahra, this tells us who Fatima al-Zahra. And we started off by saying that ulama that are at a higher rank in terms of their spiritual development, as far as we have seen, obviously this is my experience, my judgment that I'm giving you. Allama Hasanzada Amuli, this great man who is known more for his works in theoretical irfan. You, this is not my personal judgment. These people that you've heard, when we look at them and what they say regarding Fatima al-Zahra, their connection, their emotional connection with Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, is greater. And then when we look at the shuhada, Hajj Qasim, may Allah bless his soul, this great shaheed, whenever he mentioned Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, the tawassulat, military, where Ba'athist army of Saddam, and speaking of that memory, connections are great. Obviously and very evidently, much further ahead of us in their spiritual journey and wayfaring towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they're like this, then that means there's something very special. We've got to start developing that. Part of it are difficult. It really is difficult to process. And if you wouldn't hear it from a source that is trustworthy, accepted, and you process it, then you too much. There's no reason or proof against it. Lack of evidence regarding it. Evidence initially. And when you see of how sure they are of something, one. Secondly, their path in life and their accomplishments shows us that we can trust that experience more. Those mujtahids are very much accurate. The past levels that most people, you look again, then you start seeing more and more evidence. We're talking about an emotional relationship with Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha. What do I mean by that? Let me make that clear. What happened to Fatima, how she sacrificed codes, obviously. You can think of what that means. I don't have the tears that come. The way this is what we have seen from these. When one hears description of what she did or what she said, the way they feel to ask Allah Shafi' or Shafi'ah, someone to do Shafa'ah, someone to that we can seek intercession through. And then in that context, trying to have more of it, this is the idea. What's the result? I don't want to discuss it on a lower level, dislike the things. These are some general way with a person or with people. Of having this great relationship, emotional connection to Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha. I think the way I can put it is that, salamullahi alayha, you have that relationship with her. What do I mean by can't give up? The outward jihad, the jihad that is against the enemies. The outward jihad, that we have plenty of context. We're all in a jihad. We're all in the war, Islam and Kufr. Prior to that, form of nifaq. But then the Kufr. It's been over a century. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, we want to side with the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in. And if we're going to do that, to make progress, too difficult to move forward. Too difficult. We'll find cases where we find our own people abandoning us. We'll find cases where ulama that we expected for them not to abandon, they abandon. These are serious blows against us. You work so hard on the ground, and the kuffar are trying to gain control in those areas, or regain control rather, in those areas. They work so hard, and then they realize this person, these are more serious blows than where directly the enemy is attacking. There's many, many very serious cases where you will come to, where you feel like, you know, we just can't. We have seen people be part of the struggle for years, for decades, after decades of being part of the struggle, after decades of being in on the front, get weaker and weaker. Eventually, they break off, like, forget this. And then when you speak with a revolutionary spirit, the spirit of the Ahlul Bayt, these people who are older even, they turn back and like, yeah, we used to speak like, you're this, you're that. There are many examples. We're in need of a means. We are in through them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we can always keep going. We can always keep going. And what we have seen is that Hajj Qasim Sulaimani is a good example of this, of his struggles in his early ages of around 20 onwards up to these days in his 60s. People that were with him, not all of them made it through. This man, what gave him the ability, what causes Zahra, that connection, emotional connection to Fatima to Zahra? It's not about saying words of tawassul to Fatima to Zahra. It's that emotion, going through Fatimiyya, crying, and doing whatever it takes to just create that emotion. Connection is there. She guides. She comes forth. That feeling that she is my mother, a type of mother that will come forward no matter how difficult it is, and take my hand. That needs to be there. That needs to be there. It's very difficult battles where it seems as though there's no getting out of that one. And you're definitely going to lose. Those who've been through those understand tawassul was to Fatima to Zahra. You start to realize. You start to see. The Ahlul Bayt did tawassul to Fatima to Zahra, salamullah alayha. The Imams did tawassul to Fatima to Zahra. In those conditions, the people who have that emotional connection with Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha, suddenly the only thought that comes and everything that happened there and cry and then start speaking to Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha, our mother, we're in this condition, we're in need of your help, we want to be like coming, and that's the wrong word to use. When that connection is built, then at those times, she comes and assists. And that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through Fatima al-Zahra, gives this sakina, this tranquility in the heart, calmness. The battle of the nafs, the internal jihad that we have, which is the more difficult jihad, even in the case of those most difficult times of the external, is taken care of. If we win the internal battle against the nafs, that external battle is, we have won it. There's no worry regarding that. It's the internal one. It's not even in the context of war, externally with anyone. It's just me. It's just inside. It's just internal. It may be a joyful, a very happy occasion. People are celebrating in a celebration. There's no celebration, nobody, no nothing. What it is my need, my want, my desire to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have got to show that desire. I need to build it. If I don't, I get busy, distracted with evil gains, business, family, children, education. These various, we do fast, we do our commemorations, we do cry for the Ahlul Bayt. Is it that my dreams are? Where do I dream to be on a regular basis? Dreams, we have these thoughts, oh, if I could get this. Where are my dreams? What do I dream? Be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dream, the extent of what I want. Everything else is, in a sense, marginal, in a sense, only for this. I want to do whatever I'm doing for my children, I've read, I've understood through your teachings that this is going to get me close to you, Allah. We have to have that. If we don't have that, we're not going to get there. We're not going to get there. Why? Because we said it's a jihad. Some struggle is where we say, Ya Allah, we want Laylatul Qadr, or whatever context, we hear something about spiritual wayfaring, getting close to Allah. I want my nafs to be purified. We hear all of that. We say, Ya Allah, I want that. Shaykh just... We choose the other option. Like, no, we'll sacrifice this for that. And then we... And we knew it. Because of comfort. So we preferred ourselves. We preferred the comfort of the dunya. How can I change this? How can I change what my dreams are? No, I have. They're in me. How do I change this? This is what the emotional connection with. The fact is, we don't all of a sudden tonight we decide, I want that to be my dream. I want to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I understood, now I'm fully convinced I need to do that. Okay, tomorrow, is that going to happen? Is that going to reflect in my deeds? It's not going to happen overnight. The moment I make, and there are failures. There are setbacks. There are times where I do things out of neglect, the very state of neglect, being neglectful, being... I do make those choices. I do choose other than God at times. The thing is, that's not the end of the story. What happens is, without this connection with Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, you can't connect it with whatever other goal in life it is, and you're going with it. But then if you have that connection with Fatima to Zahra, she brings that word across, that emotion, if it's there, it kicks in. I want to go and listen, and here we go again. The tears start flowing, the emotions start flowing, the purification starts towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if one doesn't have that connection, continuing in all the difficult conditions, what they tell us is that without this connection, it's not doable. Above all of that's correct in our personal lives, in our material lives, in our struggles and our material needs, family, all these different problems and issues that we're dealing with, tawassul to the Ahlul Bayt. But connection to Fatima to Zahra, salamullah, here, a roadblock comes, I fail, I fall. After that, she will come, take your hand, get back up again. It's different. I don't know how else to put this. This is Aleha. And we need to ask her for that. Ask her and keep asking. Other than asking, then listening to better connections, whether it's Noha, it's recitations other than Noha's where they beat their chest. There's other recitations, other forms, whatever it is, readings. These need to be done. These reminders need to be there. The tawassul itself, that connection is built stronger. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us and we're able to develop that relationship. Sallallahu alayki ya Fatima al-Zahra. محمد امتحنت امتحنك الله لما امتحنك صابرا أمك أية صلى الله حقها المكسور يا فاطمة may Allah you were the one that the Prophet referred. You were the one that the Prophet used to bend down and kiss your hand. You are the one that every time Amir al-Mu'mineen came back home from a difficult day dealing with the kuffar or the munafiqeen, your smile changed his mood, changed his day, gave him strength. Brothers and sisters, these days are the last days of Fatima. صلى الله عليك. The last days of Ali, having Fatima by your side. Ali having Fatima by his side. روحي فداك. يا أمير المؤمنين روحي فداك. I don't know how it was for you and how long this took. Perhaps it's been a couple of months. That now when you come home, you wish to see the face of Fatima. But Fatima has her face covered. She doesn't want you to see her face. روحي فداك يا مولاي. I'm not sure how you felt when Hassanain came to you in the masjid telling you Fidha has said, if you want to see Fatima alive, come now. Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, the door of Khaybar didn't make you fall, but hearing that they say Amir al-Mu'mineen fell backwards. Ruhi fidaka ya Mawla. Ya Mawlati. يا فاطمة الزهراء. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم بالزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها بك يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى محبة أوليائك. والله hasten the return of our imam. Allah, help us be his true and close companions. يا الله, help all those who are helping your cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins. We ask him to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away, of their sins. We ask Allah to grant all of us and all believers worldwide our hajat, our needs, our requests, relieve those who are suffering from hardships, difficulties, illnesses, and we ask Allah to relieve all the people of the world of the pandemic that we're dealing with. We ask Him to relieve all the people of the world of the oppression that they're facing. بالنبي وآله رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة مع الصلوات.